culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I want to offer an apology. You may say, an apology for what, Coach? Well, I got to tell you something. I know when I'm over the target, and I just didn't feel I had. I felt yesterday was the worst prepared show I've ever done. And it's for a variety of reasons. You know, I was in the hotel. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. I was tired. And I mean, a lot of reasons. I'm not making an excuse, but I want you to know that when we come here, I want you to have had a good piece of meat to chew on. And I didn't think I really got to the point that I wanted to make. One of the points I wanted to make yesterday was the whole idea about chivalry and about, remember I talked about what do they call them, the soy boys, the culture in our society, and how the heck we got to the point where we're so soft in America today. That's really where my focus wanted to go yesterday. And I just didn't get a chance to do it. But I got to tell you something. This is, Michelle and I stayed an extra day just because I needed to catch my breath. You know what I'm saying? I'm 68 years old. I don't feel it, but I'm 68. Flew across America. We were on a plane for I don't know how long, but like forever getting out there. And can I tell you, folks, my poor wife, there's nothing. It's almost abuse to go on an airplane and wear one of these things. I'm telling you, folks. I'm telling you. If you have any sense, if you have any sensibility about you at all, look, my glass is fogging up. That's how well those things work. You are under constant duress by people around you, by stewardesses. Although I will say this, Alaska Airlines, which is what Michelle and I flew, Alaska Airlines were the least Nazi'd airline that I've ever been on, ever. But the idea that we have been so conditioned that I'm a bad guy because I have to sit there and, dare I say it, put my mask. Michelle kept after me because, they walk by and look at your shirt, pull up your mask. Although they didn't do that not one time to us on Alaska's air. It was a four-hour trip coming home last night. We got in about, I don't know, late, 9:30 or 10 when we got in. And, folks, it's unbelievably stressful. I want to ask you this, really, in all seriousness. Listen to me. I'm asking you this in all seriousness. How long are we going to put up with this crap? How long are we going to put up with this crap that we know these masks don't work? And how long are we going to continue to be intimidated by others for whatever reasons, for their own fear, their own lack of research, whatever it might be, their Christian desire to want to be good citizens? How long are we going to put up with it? Because I'm going to tell you something. It stressed out my sweet little wife for 4 hours on that stinking plane. Well, it was worse than that because you get on the plane and we got on the plane in Spokane and flew west, if you can believe that. We flew from Spokane all the way across the state to Seattle. We're clear over on the west coast. So we were in the air probably about 5 hours yesterday. And Craig, it's easy to say stop flying. It's easy to say. It takes 4 days, probably. It's 2,000 miles to go to Montana. 2,000 miles. Chad Estes and I were talking about going back to Montana again, where we got a lively group going on out there. Chad, it's 1,800 miles. Hey, folks, do you guys drive cars? Do you drive cars? Do you understand how long it takes to drive that far? You say, that's it. I'm not getting on an airplane again. I don't want to get on an airplane. I don't ever want to get on an airplane again. But I also don't want to spend 4 days driving to Montana and 4 days driving home. And so they have us over a barrel. And if look, Leah, thank you for getting out of that. But look how far we flew. And I said to my wife, if they say one more time that not wearing, a face mask violates federal law, I'm going to go pull the captain out of the plane. It doesn't say that, that it's a federal law to wear a mask. Folks, how long are we going to put up with it? Now, I'm not going to stay here all day on this, okay? I read a book. My friend Mark Harrington gave me a book. I'm going to suggest this book to all of you, okay? I read it. I never take the time to read books. I do. I skim them. But because I was trapped on that plane for so long, I got a chance to read a book, and I'm going to recommend it to all of you right now. It's on the screen. If Jared will throw that thing up there. It's called Live Not by Lies. Live Not by Lies. I don't know if you can pull that up there, Jared. I got it on my screen. By Rod Dreher. Live Not by Lies. I'm going to use that in a second there, Jared. Jared, just see if you can Google real quick, Live Not by Lies, so people can see. It takes you all through the communist revolution, everything that happened, and there it is. Folks, this is it, man. And not only does this take us through history with those who lived through the communist upheaval, but it's a manual for Christian dissidents. Can I say something? I'm a proud Christian dissident. Are there any other proud Christian dissidents out there? Raise your hand right now if you're one of them. Dissident. Hey, Jared, go to Webster. That'd be a great word. Go to Webster's. What is a dissident? Because I'm a proud Christian dissident, okay? A dissident is a dissenter, one who separates from the established religion, a word applied to the members of the Lutheran Catholic. A dissident, not agreeing. I am not agreeing. I am a dissident. I'm a Christian dissident and proud of it. Proud of it. Folks, I highly, highly, highly recommend this book, Live Not by Lies. It comes from Alexander Solzhenitsyn, was kind of the one that they give the credit to for talking about it. But this whole book talks about soft totalitarianism and what they're doing to us and how they're getting away with it. And I got one little image I'm going to throw up there real quick. I'm sorry to be ranting like this. I'm just telling you, just to come home and see what's going on out in the world. It's Alaska Airlines is better than anybody else, okay? But see, this is the dilemma they have, too. They have. This is the dilemma. If you want to fly on a plane, you have to play by their rules. My wife was so stressed because there was a guy kind of countered. I'm sitting in my seat, and this guy's up in front of me in over a seat, and he kept turning around and looking at me. Now, I couldn't have given two craps. I didn't care if he came or sat on my lap, to be honest with you, right? But Michelle was getting worried. Says, he's going to report you. He's going to report you. Whatever. Why do we live like this, folks? Why do we live like this? How long are we going to put up with this, continuing to live like this? Now, wait. If the masks work, I would somewhat understand that they worked, but they don't work. Then we get on the plane and they say, federal law. And every time they said it, I would yell out, that's not a law. It's not a law. I told Michelle I should stand up and just scream at everybody, walk up and down the aisles and just tell everybody, you dummies, it isn't a law. It's not the law. It's a health order. It's not a law. All right, I got that off my chest. Live not by lies. Live not by lies. Proud. Yeah, thanks, Gary. Gary says he's a proud Christian dissident as well. Can I go there? Hey, Jared, pull that little picture up I just sent to you. Because this is just one of the pages that I pulled. I just copied that just this morning when I came down here. Here's what Alexander Solzhenitsyn, a man who refused, Solzhenitsyn refused to live by lies. Hey, friends, Christians, we must stop living by lies. We'll say it again. I'm looking at everybody right now. I want you all to give me a thumbs up. That's what it means to be salt of the earth and light of the world. Quit living by lies. Stop it already. Stop it already. And what's going to happen? Well, we're going to get some pushback. We're going to get some kickback. Pressured. We're going to be, stop living by lies. Stop it already. Stop lying to our children. Stop lying to our spouses. Stop stop lying to one another, get our government to stop lying to us. We cannot live by lies. We cannot live. Stop lying to one another. Oh, I'm going to hammer on that one. Stop lying to one another. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Let your word be true. Let God be true and every man a liar. Come on,
amen.
Christian. Come on, Christian. It's more important that you speak the truth than it is guard yourself from not hurting somebody's feelings.
Absolutely.
Somebody's always going to get their feelings hurt. They're always going to. Every day when this show's over, I ask myself, well, who did I make mad today? Who did I make mad today? Because you're stepping on somebody else's toe. Live not by lies. So here's what Rod Dreher wrote. I'm going to try to get him on here. Fabulous book. Solzhenitsyn says this. You live not by lies. You will not say, write, affirm, or distribute anything that distorts the truth. Got that, John Diamond? Folks, you got that? Hey, folks, you got that? You will not say, write, affirm, or distribute anything that distorts the truth. Masks don't work. Vaccines are shots. They're not vaccines. Quit using the words of the enemy. Number two, you will not live by lies. You will not go to a demonstration or participate in a conservative action unless you truly believe in the cause. Don't go just because everybody else is gone. And if you believe in the cause, then you go. Thanks, Jared. That helps. I just took this picture off my phone today. Number three, a man who refuses to live not by lies will not take part in a meeting in which the discussion is forced and no one can speak the truth. I'm not going to get around a bunch of ameners and yes men. I will not live like that. I feel somewhat validated because this has kind of been, I said, I ran for Congress back in 2010. I said, if I got elected, I'd be dead right now. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Why? Because I won't play that freaking game. I won't live like that. And I won't agree with you just to make you feel better or validate what you think to be. I will not do that. I won't do that. I'm a Christian man. I will not live by lies. I'm not going to do it. You can if you want to. I'm not going to do it. Because lying becomes a habit, boys and girls. Lying to somebody to make them feel better. Yeah, now listen, if my wife stands up at the top of the steps and says, honey, do I look good in this? Then I got an issue. Do I tell her the truth? We're in a hurry. I'm looking at my watch. We got to go. I'm not talking about white lies. I'm talking about lies that really matter. All right. Boys and girls are not the same. Hey, folks, boys and girls are not the same. All men are created equal, but not all men rise to the top. Okay. Stop acting like you're guilty of being white. And everybody else is dependent on you to be kind and stop living like that. The truth is most black men rise okay. Most white men who don't rise because of their own defects and their own behaviors. Whether it be red, yellow, black, or white, individual liberty gives you the chance to rise however you want to. I will not swallow the racism card. I will not swallow the Nazi card. I will not swallow the bigot card. I will not swallow any of that. I will say what's on my mind no matter what the consequences are. That's how I'm going to live my life.
Bam.
Thank you. I'll not take part in a meeting where the discussion is forced and no one can speak the truth. Number four, I will not vote for a candidate or proposal he considers to be dubious or unworthy. I'd rather not vote than vote for somebody I can't support. The lesser of two evils. Now, listen, that's a whole different discussion in its own. But I'm just going to kill a few, baby. No, I'm not going to vote for a guy. Just not going to. Number four, I will walk out of an event as soon as I hear the speaker utter a lie. If I'm in a meeting and the guy up front lies, ideological drivel or shameless propaganda, I'm leaving. And not only am I leaving, I'm going to tell you something. About 15 years ago, it's been longer than that now, I was in a church in Pickerington. My wife and I were attending church regularly in Pickerington. And I really liked the pastor. He's a good guy. But I'd had about enough of it. Anybody out there, give me a thumbs up, know what I'm talking about. Any of you out there about had enough with that guy standing in the pulpit? You about had enough. About had enough of it. About had enough of it. I'd swallowed enough of it. Making everybody feel good, telling lies. Telling lies. Yeah, they're telling lies. And he got on one of his lying rants. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. He was the pastor. He is standing in the pulpit. But he was manipulating the people. Manipulating the people. And I knew he was manipulating the people. And I wanted to scream. 15, maybe 20 years. It was right after I'd left. Right after I'd left getting sued by the ACLU. I'd had it up to here. Now I'm up to here. And he was given this ideological drivel, shameless Christian propaganda. And I stood up in the middle of the service. And I walked out and I never went back. I ain't gonna play by it anymore. I'm not going to play by it. All right. Hey, listen, if a pastor and I want to disagree on theology, that's one thing. That's one thing. But if he draws a sword against what I believe, I'm okay to draw a sword against what he believes. And if we're going to argue, if I have to go to a church and sit down and believe everything the pastor believes, if I have to sit in a church and believe everything the pastor believes, I'd rather milk a freaking cow. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to live by lies. And what makes him right and me wrong? Somebody give me a thumbs up. So I need somebody still with me today.
Amen.
I'm not going to silence my voice because some 6-foot icicle doesn't like what I say. And then I'm upsetting the apple cart. I'm not going to live like that anymore. I'm not going to live by lies. I'm not going to do it. You can. I'm not going to do it. Whew. Well, I'm on it today, Anna. And I will not support journalism that distorts or hides the underlying facts. I have not watched Fox News in about 3 years. I will not watch. I won't watch that crap. I'm not going to watch it. They can't feed me a little bit of drivel, a little bit of lies, just a lie here and there. I'm not. Hey, I ain't going to be part of it. I'm not going to be part of it. Whew. Okay, got that off my chest. You with me? Anybody out there with me? Because I'm going to tell you something, boys. This is what.
Oh, yeah. Locker room is listening.
All right, baby.
Locker room is listening.
This is what separating the sheep and the goats all about. If you want my humble opinion, this is what it's all about. I'm not.
Right.
Hey, sometimes Michelle says to me, I love my wife more. I just can't tell how much I love my wife. And she's a great buffer. But she knows about when I'm about to go off. And she looks at me with those big brown eyes. And she says, "You're not going to say anything, are you, honey?" Because she knows I'm going to say something. Because I'm not going to live by lies. I'm not going to live by lies. And so I would say to Michelle, "Hey, Michelle, is there anything I said that wasn't true?" And what would be her response? "Well, no." "Well, then what's the big deal? They're the ones that are wrong, not me. I'm going to say it. I'm not going to be a go-along to get-along kind of guy. I'm not going to do it. Refuse to
do it." Amen.
That's why we're in the mess that we're in. Because Christian men won't stand up. Christian men. Oh, that's a good place for it. Hey, can I be on a rant? JR did a great job for me on Friday. Yesterday I had a lousy show. I got all this built up inside of me. Can I just go for a minute? I'll let you get in here. Okay. I'm not gonna live by lies, boys and girls. I'm not gonna live by lies. Jared, bring up for me. Where is it, buddy? I gotta find it here. I know I sent it to you. I know I did. Where is it? I want somebody want to say something? Well, there's a link here. Where is that thing? Where is what I'm looking for? Michelle's up here stomping on. She's probably telling me to try to be quiet already. I'm looking for something here. My computer froze up. Live not by lies. Live not by lies. Live not by lies. Hang on here. Here's what I want. Apostles. I think I sent it to you, Jared. Did I send it to you? It looks safe. I'm going to send it to you right now, Jared. I think I already did, but in case I didn't. Hey, folks, I don't know where we got this candy. I don't know where we got this candy donkeyed Christianity. I don't know where we got it. I don't know where we got it. All right? This idea that Jesus was just the nicest old boy to ever come down the pike. And if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, you're just going to be just as nice and tolerant and diverse as he is. Just as nice as he is. I don't know where we got it. Don't know where we got it. When Jesus told us in Matthew 5 that we're going to be hated of all men. When's the last time you heard that preached in your church? To be hated of all men. Jared, that's Matthew chapter 5. See if you can pull that up there for me real quick, just so you guys know. See, you it's not biggest Bible verse wins here, folks, huh? It's not your Bible verse trumps my Bible verse. It's not your Bible verse that says God is love that trumps my Bible verse that says what? I'm going to be hated of all men. That I'm the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Your Bible verse doesn't trump my Bible verse. And I can tell you this right now. Many of you can pull out of context any Bible verse and create any type of theology and any type of behavior you want to. Somebody say amen. That'd be a good place for it. That'd been a real good place for it.
Right.
I can find anything in this Bible that can justify whatever. If I want to be a sissy, this Bible, I can find it in there, right? You cannot take the Bible out of context. Jared, slide on down through there, man. Go on down Matthew 5 a little bit because I want you to see this. Oh, boy. Blessed are you. Hey, when's the last time you heard this preached in your church? Blessed are you when men revile you. Hey, Jared, what's revile mean? Let's go a little bit deeper on this one, huh? Revile. This just isn't or mad at you or smile or frown at you. No. Blessed are you when men revile you. Revile means to reproach, to treat with opprobrious and contemptuous language. Oh, reproach, contumely. Those are words we don't even know how to use. That's how bad it is. Men are supposed to revile us. They're supposed to revile us. And we're told we're supposed to love everybody. Oh, coach, share the truth in love. Dudes, the truth is love. It is love. Live not by lies. Okay, Jared, go back to Matthew chapter 5. Because blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. You getting those notches on your belt every day, folks? You getting those notches on your belt? I am. Proud to. Proud. Huh? Something wrong when all men speak well of you. There's something wrong. Why? Because, huh? Rejoice. Rejoice, be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. What? Yeah, standing up here gives rewards in heaven. When you stand up here against evil and you live not by lies, they're going to hate you. But the word says you're going to have a great reward. Be exceedingly glad. Why? Because they persecuted the prophets which were before you the same way because you're the salt of the earth. You know what it says? Where do we get this crap we're hearing in church today? Where did that come from? How can the church live by lies? Church live by lies. Jared, throw it up there. Throw up there what I just sent you. Guys, heard of the apostles, huh? The disciples? These guys, these guys. Here's our examples. Jared's pulling up there. Bear with me a second. There, no, not that one, Jared. I just sent it to you. I just did send it to you. It's a standalone email. I don't even know if I put a title on it. Oh, boy, I'm on a roll, aren't I? It's all right. Believe it or not, I'm sweating. Sweating. It's good. It's all good. I need a shower anyway. I've been riding on that plane when it fell in bed. I didn't get a chance to shower. Jared, did you get it or not, man? Did I send it to you? Okay, but Jared's pulling it up there. Because, friends, this blew me away. Huh? I want to be a follower of Jesus? I want to be a follower of Jesus? All right, well, you know how the 12 disciples died? You want to know how they died? Well, Jared's going to have it on the screen here for you in a minute. They weren't into friendship evangelism. No way. They didn't water down the gospel. Hey, the disciples didn't live by lies. They didn't live by lies. We're living in a society that is totally and completely immersed with lies. There it is. Okay. I don't know why it takes that long to get it up there. All right. Silver, you read better than me. You read it that way they won't think I'm lying to them.
Okay, coach. How the apostles and some disciples of Christ died. Number one, Matthew suffered martyrdom in Ethiopia, killed by a sword wound.
A sword wound. Wonder who drew a sword on him. Go ahead.
Mark died in Alexandria, Egypt, after being dragged by horses through the streets until he was dead.
Nah, Matthew, Mark, you guys should have been kinder. You should have shown the love of Jesus more. Go ahead, Joe.
Luke was hanged in Greece as a result of his tremendous preaching to the lost. John faced martyrdom when he was boiled in a huge basin or cauldron of boiling oil during a wave of persecution in Rome.
Hey, folks, hang on, Joe. He didn't die. They boiled him in oil. Hey, Dale, who's had knee surgery. How's that for those crawl dads, Dale? How's that for those crawl dads? They dipped John in oil. They boiled him. Still didn't kill him. Keep going, Joe.
Hey, Coach, I've seen that. Let me inject real quick because I know he's about to go on with that. I've read it. They also gouged out John's eyes when they sent him to the island of Patmos because they believed that the animals would eat him, that he would not be able to defend himself. So, bro, let me tell you what. You want to talk about misery on misery?
Yeah. He wasn't very good at friendship evangelism either. If he'd have just compromised just a little bit, if he'd have just bit his tongue. Keep going, Joe.
However, he was miraculously delivered from death. John was then sentenced to the mines on the prison island of Patmos. He wrote his prophetic book of Revelation there on the island of Patmos.
While blind. While blind.
The Apostle John was later freed and returned to serve as Bishop of Edessa in modern-day Turkey. He died as an old man.
The only apostle to die peacefully. As if he can be called being boiled in oil peacefully. I guess his last years he was okay. Probably a little bit crunchy. But he died. At least he died peacefully, huh? Go ahead.
5. Peter was crucified upside down on a cross. According to church tradition, it was because he told his tormentors that he felt unworthy to die in the same way that Jesus Christ had died.
Oh, we pray that we don't have to die. Lord, not me. Let somebody else die. Lord, not me. I'm going to compromise. I'm going to say nice things to everybody. And you know what they'll do? They'll put a plaque in the door of the church, of the wing that I helped. Oh, come on. Go ahead.
6, James, the leader of the church in Jerusalem, was thrown down over 100 feet from the southeast pinnacle of the temple when he refused to deny his faith in Christ.
Wow.
When they discovered that he survived the fall, his enemies beat James to death with a fuller's club. This was the same pinnacle where Satan had taken Jesus during the temptation.
You know, I don't know what a fuller's club is, but it doesn't sound very good. I don't think it was a card club. I don't think it was a bunch of guys got around the American Legion. I don't think it was that kind of club. Sorry. He's beaten with a fuller's club to death. After they threw him off of the peak of the building, they beat him up with a fuller's club because he wasn't dead yet. Friendship evangelism.
James.
Love.
7, James, the son of Zebedee, was a fisherman by trade when Jesus called him to a lifetime of ministry. As a strong leader of the church, James was beheaded at Jerusalem.
Joe, what does that mean?
Beheaded?
Yeah.
That means that a blade goes through your neck. And it's generally like a guillotine kind of.
And then your head is separated from the body?
Yes.
Do you live after that, Joe?
Generally not.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. The Roman officer who guarded James watched in amazement as James defended his faith at his trial. Later, the officer walked beside James to the place of execution. Overcome by conviction, the Roman officer declared his new faith to the judge and knelt beside James to accept beheading as a Christian.
Wow. See, James was just a little too zealous. If he had not been so zealous, he might still be alive today. No, I don't think he would be. Would he, Silver?
No.
He wouldn't be alive today.
He'd be too old.
Yeah. So in other words, everybody dies, Joe. Some die with their head cut off, and some die other ways. Go ahead.
Number eight, Bartholomew.
Who? Who? I mean, guys, did you even know there was a guy named Bartholomew? Anybody know anything about Bartholomew? Well, what happened? Certainly, he was not much of a rabble rouser, so certainly nothing would have happened to Bartholomew, because we don't even really know anything about him. What'd Bart do, Joe?
Also known as Nathaniel, was a missionary to Asia. He witnessed for our Lord in present-day Turkey. Bartholomew was martyred for his preaching in Armenia, where he was flayed to death by a whip.
Wait a minute. Dale's a good cook. Dale, what does it mean to be flayed? Flayed. What does that mean when you get flayed?
It means that they have such a razor sharp knife that they take your skin off first, your first layers of skin, and then they go to the meat, and then they go to the bone.
So are you telling me that if Bart had just kept his mouth shut and done friendship evangelism, would he be alive today, Joe? Would Bartholomew still be alive today?
Yes, but he would have died of old age.
He would have died. So he would have died anyway? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Wow. All right. Go ahead. What Andy do? Not Andy Taylor. Not Barney and Andy.
Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross in Patras, Greece.
By the way, we showed you the cross of Andrew. Remember that, folks? Remember that couple week ago we showed you the cross of Andrew? Go ahead, Joe. I'm sorry.
After being whipped severely by seven soldiers, they tied his body to the cross with cords to prolong his agony. His followers reported that when he was led toward the cross, Andrew saluted it in these words: "I have long desired and expected this happy hour. The cross has been consecrated by the body of Christ hanging on it." He continued to preach to his tormentors for 2 days until he expired.
He hung on that cross for 2 days and continued to preach to those who were crucifying him. See, it wasn't on this kind of cross. It was one in an X, right? That would be even more painful, wouldn't it? Leg spread. Oh, my goodness. 2 days? If he had only been more subtle with his words, if he hadn't been so combative and confrontive, if only he would just shared the truth with love, they would have accepted him. He would have been on the school board. They would have named, oh my goodness, Andrew, you blew it. Go ahead, Joe.
Number 10. Thomas was stabbed with a spear in India during one of his missionary trips to establish the church in the subcontinent.
So just one stab. He got off pretty easy, didn't he? They just stabbed him, just killed him real quickly, I guess.
Number 11, Jude was killed with arrows when he refused to deny his faith in Christ.
Jude, by the way, the brother of Jesus.
Yes.
Brother of Jesus, killed with arrows.
Number 12, Matthias.
Who? Anybody? Matthias? Did he write anything in the Bible? Huh? Anybody heard about Matthias? He must have been pretty important. How come we never heard about Matthias? He probably just died in his sleep. Is that what happened to him, Joe?
No, we heard about Matthias in Acts when he was the apostle that replaced Judas Iscariot. He was stoned and then beheaded.
Stoned him, and if that wasn't enough, they cut off his head just to be sure. Friendship evangelism. This is Matthias. What would Matthias think if he looked at Christian men today? Skinny jeaned, puffed up hair, prissy pastors. What would Matthias think? Let's get to Paul.
Paul was tortured and then beheaded by the evil Emperor Nero at Rome in AD 67. Paul endured a lengthy imprisonment, which allowed him to write his many epistles to the churches he had formed throughout the Roman Empire. These letters, which taught many of the foundational doctrines of Christianity, form a large portion of the New Testament. Perhaps this is a reminder to us that our sufferings here are indeed minor compared to the intense persecution and cold cruelty faced by the apostles and disciples during their times, for the sake of Christ and the faith. Make this message your contribution to the Gospels of our Lord Jesus Christ. The salvation of our precious souls is not through religious persuasion, but through a relation personal with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. 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 Hey, they'd throw these 12 disciples out of the church today, wouldn't they? They'd throw them all out. Live not by lies, boys and girls. We got to quit. We got to quit lying. We got to quit lying. Come on in, Jack. Then Joe. You're not muted, Jack. I'm sorry, Jack. It's always a little bit delayed with Jack. Let's go Joe first, then Jack. Then Jack will catch up. Go ahead, Joe. Then Jack.
Coach, I don't know how you feel about Ron Paul or Rand Paul. He's had a lot of people talking to him about this stuff, and he just decided not to take the vaccine.
I saw that.
So I don't know if he would be an advocate for what we're looking for.
I don't know. I don't know either. Listen, hey folks, can I tell you this? Whether or not you take a vaccination is going to come down to whether or not you're willing to suffer persecution. And hey, there's no legislature coming to save you. There's no legislature. There's no governor. There ain't nobody coming to save you. This is going to come down to whether or not you make the decision to take that jab or not. I made my decision. I ain't taking the jab. I ain't going to do it. Go ahead, Jack. Yeah. Go ahead, Jack. Silver, you're up. Wait on Jack. Maybe Jack's just got his hand in the air. Go ahead, Jack.
I'm sorry, Coach. Hey, Coach, just a couple follow-ups. Paul, I'm sure he would have advocated for the mask, right? you said that the mask is not a federal law, right? It can't be a federal law, right?
Can't be.
Yeah, well, let me find out where that federal law is that says you have to have an ID. Where's the federal law that says you have to have an ID to get on a federal plane? Is that a federal plane? I can't get on a plane. I'm fly everywhere because they don't take my Salt and Light Brigade ID. So I guess that's it.
Uh-huh. So in other words, for whatever reasons, they're going to discriminate against you and not give you permission to fly because you won't comply. Basically, that's what it is, right?
Right.
Isn't that what it comes down to?
You know, I need permission to?
You need permission to do everything. Stephanie just sent me an email. You know what she said? She said, lying makes you lukewarm. Boy, is that ever it. Lying makes you lukewarm. See, I like to take a stand because then I don't back down from it, and that keeps me hot. Keeps me hot. When I say it, I ain't backing down. All right? I don't mean to talk about me, okay? Come on in, Silver. Come on. I'll open it up. Jump in here real quick. Tell me how wrong I am.
Okay, Coach. Basically, everyone here has identified themselves as one Christian. Two, they're not going to take a jab. Okay? And we, in accordance with the majority of people, are the enemy.
Joe, so, I got a thing right here, but they want to get rid of white people. I'll get to that. I'll get to that here in a second. Hey, folks, listen to me. Hey, giving into fleshly urges makes you weak. I would never go out on my wife. I would never go out on my wife. Why would I never go out on my wife? Because I'm loyal to her. And she's loyal to me. But does that mean that the urge to go out on my wife is gone forever? Well, that's crazy. Put a few beers in me. Stick me in a room far away with some pretty women. Carnal nature gets involved, folks. And if you think Christianity is submitting to your carnal nature, you got the wrong Christianity. you got it wrong. If that's what you think it is. It's not. Christ came to give you victory over sin.
Amen.
Christ gave me victory over the desire to bed other women. You guys hearing what I'm saying?
Amen.
Huh? Because can I tell you that if I just go to the way I was made, all of us, hey, men, I'm talking to all of you out there. If you just simply acted on every urge that you had, you know that she would just go from bed to bed to bed to bed to bed. Somebody give me a thumbs up. That's your carnal nature.
You'd be a pagan.
Huh? You'd be a pagan. You'd be a pagan.
Boom.
Pagan Christianity, see? If you just move, say, oh, I got, you know, I was made this way. I was made to bed as many women as I possibly can. That's the way I was made. Any other men admit they were made that way? Any other men want to, huh?
Yep.
Yep. Any women want to admit they were made that way, huh? Huh? Yeah. But you know what? Christ set me free from that. Set me free from that. He set me free. Now, I could fall back into it any time. Some woman could take her clothes off and put five beers in me, come dancing around me. I'd forget my wife real quick, probably. I probably would. Huh? I'm just telling you the truth. Flee immorality, folks. Flee immorality. Not change immorality. Not adjust it to something that satisfies my lifestyle. No, 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 no. Flee immorality. Get away from it. Why? Because it's always knocking at your door. Friends, immorality is always knocking at your door.
Amen.
Come on in, Vinny.
I just want to say that these idiots, they want to try and get white genocide. They're going to have to kill me first. And now in saying that, I'm sure I'll invite people to think, oh, we got a coon or an Oreo here. Well, I want to tell you, the last guy called me an Oreo, he ended up defecating in front of his pants in front of his friends. So,
you know what, though, Vinny? I don't care. I couldn't
Same
care.
Here. Same here.
I couldn't care less. They call That's me some, so many names. So many sticks and stones will hurt my bones, but will break my bones, but, huh?
Hey, Coach. Hey,
yes.
Coach. Remember those stories? All those stories, they were lessons. They were warnings to us. All those fables.
They were. That's what it says. They were given to us as an example. Isn't that what it says? All these things are given to us as an example. And we're in the mess that we're in. Why? Because men won't. Hey, friends, I got. This is validated to me through this book, Live Not by Lies. Hey, friends. Leftism is a religion. Leftism is a religion. Those people that we come in contact with, call them whatever you want to, call them Democrats, call them woke, call them whatever. Do you understand that is deeply held religious beliefs to them? You understand that? Do you understand that their deeply held religious belief says Betty Perkins is a racist? That is their deeply held religious beliefs. And no matter how much Betty Perkins tries to prove to them that she is not a white supremacist, they are going to accuse her of that. Why? Because that is one of the pillars of the... Do you understand this? Do we understand it? It's not Democrat, Republican. That isn't... Folks, it's a clash of two different religions. What, Jared, what is a religion? Pull that up. I caught Jared messing around on me. What's a religion? What is a religion? Religion. Religion is the most comprehensive, includes a belief in the being and perfection of God. Nah. Religion, as it's distinct from is godliness or real piety and practice consisting in the performance of all known duties to God and to our fellow man. So, what we are seeing from leftism is a religion. They have deeply held religious beliefs. Social justice, religious justice, economic justice. Folks, these are religious beliefs. There's a clash of religions in America. It's a clash of religions. That's why you can't convince them any more than they can convince you. Are you with me? That's
Amen,
why,
Coach.
That's
Amen.
Why, that's why we have the problems that we have. Look at this. Number four, any system of faith and worship. That's a religion. They are religious. They're religious pagans. They're religious atheists. They don't realize they're not an atheist in the common sense of the term atheist as we use it. Atheist means atheist, means without God, but they have a God, folks. They've substituted a different God. It would be them. It would be entertainment. It would be social justice. It would be whatever. They have replaced. They are not atheists. They're theists. They are deep state, big government, social justice warrior religionists.
Who worship Apollyon, Coach.
They worship themselves ultimately. Come on in, Mark.
I just wanted to say, think about the old times whenever they worshiped idols. Think about Christians during those times. You would see people worshiping an idol and know it's not true, but they wouldn't listen to you. Because they believed in the idol. They believed in it. That right. makes it a religion. Their belief in the mask makes the mask an idol.
There you go.
And they won't listen. The mask is a religion. It was spiritual from the very first time I saw it. And I knew right then that it was wrong. And I just, it's a belief. Once people believe something, they're never going to listen unless you change their belief.
That's it. That's it, Mark. See, understand this, friends. Those on the far left, hear me. They believe they're right. They believe we're evil. Do you understand it? Don't you understand it? And so when you go and try to have a conversation with a leftist, they're trying to talk you out of your religion, and you're trying to talk them out of theirs. That's the debate that's going on. But see, they don't see it as a religion.
Amen.
They don't see it as a religion.
But they don't play fair, Coach. They don't play fair. They don't play by the same rule.
No, because what? To them, the end justifies the means. Winning is everything. They really believe that if you are white, you are wicked. They really believe. It's a religious belief. Just like you believe you got born again when you received Christ as your Savior, they are born again into wokeness, into leftism, into social justice warrior. Folks, don't miss this. They are born again. This is who they are.
Amen.
They're not just
Dave.
They're not just ignorant. Yeah, Jack.
Sorry, I got to get in there.
Go ahead.
What they use against us is our misrepresentation of Scripture. Romans 13 comes to mind.
Mm-hmm. Misrepresentation of Scripture. In fact, Jack, they like some of them know. Do you know this? The Muslims, I know you didn't, so I'm going to tell you. If you go into a mosque, a lot of times when they're in a mosque, they're teaching people the Bible. Did you guys know that? That in the mosque, they teach people the Bible so they can destroy the faith of Christians. Because most Christians cannot defend the Bible. They don't really understand the Bible. So they get the Muslims in their churches, and they train the Muslims how to argue against Christianity. Do you guys know that? And so they throw out a scripture. A scripture taken out of context, they throw it out there, and they demand you live up to it. And we're so stupid that we don't understand. Hey, that's out of context. Huh? Hey, folks, how about this? The Lord will give me the desires of my heart. That's scripture, isn't it? Well, what if I desire another woman? Does the Lord give me that? What if I desire three women? A threesome. Lord, I'd really like to have a threesome. Give me the desire. See, your scripture the scripture will validate anything you want it to validate if it's taken out of context. The man's here. The dude, David's here. I haven't seen him in about 4 days. You understand what's going on? Look at this guy here, man, huh? There he is. There he is, my little warrior. Man of God. Hey, David, what are Dobbenmeyers? Tell everybody, look right in that camera and tell everybody about Dobbenmeyers. What are they?
They're thinkers, not stinkers.
We're thinkers, not stinkers. That's us, isn't it, bud? We're different than everybody else, aren't we? Why are we
different? Good job, buddy.
Why are we different, David?
Because we're thinkers, not stinkers.
That's my man. That's my man. Go on, let me finish. Good to see you. Wow, huh? Wow. Wow. So, oh, do I, Lord, am I supposed to say that or should I not? Because I can find it in the scripture where it says, when I got born again, behold, everything became new. I can find that in the scripture. So I guess I can divorce my wife. Because when I got born again, everything became new. And I don't love her anymore. Yeah, I can do that, couldn't I? Everything became new. Got a new desire in my... Yeah, that would work. That'd work. Come on in, Joe, then Jack, then Vinny. You guys are quiet. I'm on a roll. I admit it. Look at this one here. The Queen of Sky High shows up. I haven't seen him in 4 days. Now, some of you guys get to see your kid. Don't ever get to see your grandkids. But when I don't see mine for 4 days, it rips my heart. Good to see you, sweetie.
Hey, Reese.
Everybody said hi to you, Reese. Hi. Come on in. Who did I call in there? I got jabbering so much.
Coach, this is what Clay's classes is about. Situation awareness. How do you keep yourself safe in public?
Mm-hmm.
You got to go to this class. If you're not aware of such.
We should not be ignorant of his devices. We better be able to figure out what they are. Come on in, Jack. Thanks, Joe. Come on in. Jack, you've got to unmute.
Nope.
There you go. You want to hear Reese? You don't want to say anything, Jack? Go ahead, Craig. You're rolled in here. Come rolling in here.
Hey, Coach. It's the eternal problem with man. Man has always been trying to define God. If we're blessed and we have wisdom, we get to be defined.
Say that again, Craig. It went over my head. Go ahead, Craig. I'm sorry. Say it again.
I said, mankind has always been from the perspective of trying to define God. Okay?
Yes.
And did God really say that was Satan's term, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, is that what? So I get to go and define what God said, right? Now,
that's
he
right.
said, stay away from the tree of good and evil.
That's
mean,
right.
He pretty much he defined that pretty straightforward, correct?
Right.
But we, mankind, and I was Eve, part of it, said, well, okay, no, you don't get to define God. You know, if you're blessed in your life, you get to be defined by him. In other
Amen.
Words, you're the output of him. We're not the input to him.
Amen. Good word, Craig. Come on in. Hey, Jared, pull up last thing at the bottom, 1 Kings 22:44. Come on in, Dale. How's your surgery go, bud?
Brother, it's a testimony in itself, but in short, they ended up having to do a full knee replacement. Crazy as that is. I've trained up good people underneath me because I might be on a walker and I still need to do this event. And that's what a pastor does, raises up people underneath them to be able to do this. I want to go off of what Craig says, what it said, you know, in the garden where Eve is deceived. First, he gets you doubting. Then he gets you disbelieving, brother. That's
it. Amen. It changes your belief system, right? Huh?
Absolutely.
Yep. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God made me just the way I am. Therefore, I can sleep with as many women as I want. I can do that. I can change wives.
Coach, you better be careful now. You're going to get upstairs. Your wife's going to hit you with a fuller stick.
Yes, she should. She ought to hit me with a fuller stick. Come on in, Pastor Tom. Then this is the last caller for the day because I want to end on a high note here. Go ahead, Tom.
I was just going to say when God created man in his image, that was what set Lucifer off because he aspired to be God. Yet God had a creation in his image. And literally since that first deception of Eve, as we're talking about the garden, is to be, you shall be like God, knowing good and evil. And when sin came in, of course, that is what the total basis that we are gods, that we want the sin nature is to be God. Our own God and make our own decisions and do our own things and kind of gets down to if it feels good, do it.
If it feels good, do it. Just do it. Just do it. That's where I want to end up here. I don't have time. I got a scripture I wanted to share. Yeah, I do. Go to 44, Jared. 1 Kings 22:44. My wife.
That sounds pagan.
Right, my wife gave me this morning. Begin at 43. I start right there. I don't have time to go through the whole thing. Maybe I'll pick this up a little bit tomorrow. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 25 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Azuba, the daughter of Shilhai. Watch this. And he walked in the ways of Asa, his father. He turned not aside from it, doing that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Not right in his own eyes, by the way. Nevertheless, the high places, hey, Randy, nevertheless, the high places were not taken away. For the people offered and burnt incense yet in the high places. Here's where I'm going. And Jehoshaphat made peace with the king of Israel. And Christians made peace with an ungodly, unrighteous government. Go back and read 1 Kings 22. You get the full flavor for it. We cry peace, peace, when there is no peace. There's no peace. What are we doing? Good news, I got 4 minutes left. I asked somebody the other day, why do they hate Tim Tebow so much? Have you ever seen anything like it? Have you ever seen anything like it? First of all, as a football coach, and for a quarterback to be able to play tight end is almost unheard of, right? So they barred Tim Tebow from football. They really did. They blackballed him for whatever reason. He's 33 years old. He's not a spring chicken. Most guys aren't playing football at 33 years old. And Tim Tebow was a quarterback for Urban Meyer, who's now the coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, former coach at Ohio State University. Urban Meyer just got hired as head football coach at the Jacksonville Jaguars. What did he do? He went out and he signed Tim Tebow to play tight end. He's got to make the team, but he's given him an opportunity to play tight. I don't know if you guys get it. Are you kidding me? Play tight end? He's big enough and strong enough and in shape enough to, at 33 years old, to be considered worthy of playing tight end. But folks, listen. Urban Meyer doesn't want Tim Tebow to be on the team because of the position Tim Tebow plays. He wants Tim Tebow to be on the team because of the qualities Tim Tebow brings. Of what he will bring to the locker room. How would Urban Meyer know it? He coached him. Tim Tebow won the Heisman Trophy. Urban Meyer was his coach. That's 11, 12 years ago. Yet Urban Meyer knows the deep Christian qualities of Tim Tebow and says, man, we can build a locker room around this guy. We need this type of guy. Are you ready? So here's the good news this morning. I saw this on, I don't know where I saw it, ESPN. Amazing. The top five memorabilia being sold in America today regarding the NFL all are related to Tim Tebow. Jerseys, socks, T-shirts. The top five NFL products being sold today are things about Tim Tebow. Now, folks, what does that tell us about the American culture as to where we really are as compared to where the NFL and the NBA and Major League Baseball are trying to take us? It says a lot, doesn't it? I'm still hopeful. One more thing. This is unbelievable. Guess what? Mark Trump is going to be on with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny next week. They tried to get Mark on yesterday and they couldn't work it out. And Mark Trump's going to get to be able to get on there and talk about what Dr. Sherry Tenpenny said about transmission and waves and the word of God. unbelievable how the Lord is continuing to open up doors. Hey, folks, don't believe the media. Don't believe them. They're lying to us. They're lying to us. Tim Tebow, the most popular athlete in America. I'm going to say that again. Tim Tebow is the most popular NFL football player in America after 10 years of not having a uniform on. Something's happening there. Something crazy going on there. Something going on. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.